Nice to see you all tonight. Thank you again for coming. Before we open the Bible, I want you to look at this chart behind me. See, if the Lord be not come tomorrow night, we won't be here. This is the closing night of the session. And this chart is based on the Bible. The message of the Bible. One thing I want to point out to you tonight. You see the direction of these arrows here. Look. Here they are again. You notice they're all pointing this direction. I pointed out to you before that our death is the great divide between time and eternity. That's where we are tonight. You see all these arrows, the way they're moving this way. What that means, once we leave this life, never return. So it's very, very important to learn the message of the Bible tonight. And I'm going to read you three verses, and I'm going to show you how a soul on the broad way to eternity can come through that narrow door there, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, the narrow way to heaven. I'm going to tell you how that happened to me. If I lived to next Lord's day, it would be 56 years since I went through that door. That's a fair test. But your Bible,
Ecclesiastes chapter 11, Old Testament, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, the preacher. Here's what he says in verse number 9 of chapter 11. You have your Bible handy. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, verse number 1. Here's the first passage, verse 9. Ecclesiastes, the preacher, chapter 11, verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thine heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk on the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. I'm going to read you a verse in the book of the Acts. Chapter 27, Acts chapter 27, fifth book of the New Testament. And here is Paul and his fellow travelers, and they're on a journey to Rome on a vessel. And a storm hits them, verse 20. When neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Acts chapter 16, same book. Chapter 16. Questions asked in verse number 30. The man in charge of the prisoners, he asked the question, verse 30, chapter 16, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house, the word is household. Now the Lord will bless what our brother Norman has told you, and what we have read together. Now in 20 minutes, if the Lord be not come, I'm going to tell you how I was won for heaven. So that you can take away this simple story of conversion, I want to put it under five B's. B number one, background, my background. B number two, the blessings of life. B, number three, the blunders of life. And if you don't know what that means, the mistakes of life. Then I want to talk about my birthday, spiritual birthday. And then I want to finish on the benefits of being saved. Got that now? I'll summarize it. My background, my blessings, my blunders, my birthday, and my benefits. All right. Background. People think I'm an Irishman. Well, really? I was born in South America, in the land of Venezuela. My parents were missionaries to that land. My dad was a preacher long before I was ever born. We lived in a third world country. I was the younger of two sons. And after I was born, my mother took tuberculosis, TB. She was in bed for 3 years and never saw a doctor because there was none. People can't understand that. Do I remember those days? Absolutely. During World War II, there were no money from anywhere. Our folk went through dreadful times. I was raised on black beans and rice, the national diet that the poor lived on. I was telling some of these children here last week, I used to sleep on a hammock. There was no bed to lie on. Now, I could go to all kinds of things, but that gives you a little background. Now then, after World War II was over, in 1946, we made our way back to Northern Ireland, where my parents came from. Folk ask, why do you have an Irish accent? Well, I'll tell you. Every person that spends their teenage years in a country, wherever it may be, they will finish up with that accent. Now mine has all kinds of other ingredients to it. But at least people understand what we're talking about. All right. Be number two, the blessings of life. I want you children to listen here tonight. And older friends as well. The greatest blessing that a person can have on this side of eternity is to be raised in a home where God is acknowledged, where Christ is recognized, where the Holy Bible is read, and when parents live a consistent life. Now, whenever I was growing up, I didn't like it. Might as well be honest. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't like being raised in a Christian home, but you don't know the issues of life. I'll just give you one simple incident and we'll move on. My mother wasn't able to walk for 3 years. And my dad was away in the forests of Venezuela preaching the gospel. And I can remember that whenever we were out of sight as young fellows, My mother had a bell. And if she couldn't see us, she used to ring the bell. And we had to come to her bedside. Primitive conditions? You folk know nothing about it in this land of corn and wine of Canada, the land of the maple leaf. But you see, our parents had priority in life. Number one, the salvation of our souls. That was number one priority. Didn't matter what else happened. That's number one. And any Christian parent that's here tonight, it's up to you to make absolutely sure that the family from day one understand it beyond a shadow of a doubt that the most important thing in this life is to know one's sins forgiven and to have peace in their heart and know of a certainty that they'll be in heaven when life is past. Now, there's something about raised in a Christian environment that we can't really put into words. Let me talk to you teenagers here for a minute. You see, whenever I was a teenager, I hated to go to meetings. Couldn't stand it. And maybe you're here tonight by duress, under pressure from your parents. But I want to say to you, don't you despise what's happening to you in your teenage years. There are millions of people in the world tonight and have never read the Bible once, yet you have. All right? We were raised to learn, number one, I'll summarize it. We were born sinners. That's what the Bible says. Born in sin and shapen in iniquity. We had an evil nature within that would bring us further away from God as we got older. And our lifestyle proved it beyond a shadow of a doubt. Be number three, blunders of life. Now let me talk to the parents for a minute. You see, parents think, some of them, that if they do everything right and bring their children up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, that it's automatic that they will be saved by the grace of God. Now, I want to tell you tonight that that does not necessarily happen. We wished it would, but it doesn't. So, the parents made blunders. They thought it was automatic. I have met people in this country, even this year, and they're all upset because they've done everything right, and their children are far away from God tonight. All right. You see, I have to be honest tonight and tell this audience, I hope you'll never do this. I wasn't really interested in salvation, nor the gospel. People say, I can't understand it. And you didn't know me in those years. If you would have met me when I was 18 years of age, for example, and said to me, Stan, one day you will be a gospel preacher to tell others how they can be one and be in heaven, I'd have said, you got to be kidding. Me a preacher? Never. Wasn't even interested. Now, the blunders of life that I made, I went in for the pleasures of sin. I'm not going to tell you what I did tonight. My parents are home in heaven, and they never knew. All I know is forgiven. The little song says, I tried the broken cistern's Lord, but all the water spilled. And as I stooped to drink, they fled and mocked me as I wailed. If you're a teenager here tonight or an older friend, and you think you're going to get satisfaction in that old world out there tonight, let me tell you from one that has been there, It's not the case. It's a blunder. It's a mistake. The Bible says the pleasures of sin are for a season. Now that says there are pleasures out there, but they won't last. Wonder is there anyone here tonight and you're making a blunder in your life and you're setting your sails to have what you think is going to be a good time and lay back and take life easy? It's a mistake. Now the next B. There was one day in the city of Belfast, Northern Ireland, I was far away from God. Wouldn't even tell you what I was going to do that weekend. I met a lady, she was a widow woman, and she prayed for me for a long time, unknown to me. And she said to me, "Stan, this day, I want you to come to hear the gospel of the grace of God." I had all kinds of plans, and I listened to her, and she said, "Mr. Harold Paisley and his friend are preaching the gospel every night." Harold was the older brother of Ian Paisley from Northern Ireland. Now listen to this. I didn't want to go. I didn't tell her that. I was determined I was going to do my own thing. But somehow or other, at 8 o'clock that night, I was in the back seat of the gospel meeting in one of the halls in Belfast, Northern Ireland. You've come tonight. You were invited. You came. We've had a meal. Thank the Lord. Maybe God's talking to your friend tonight. I can remember sitting down in the back seat of that hall, and I was no more interested in salvation than the man in the mint. But you see, whenever those preachers got down to business and told the story that we have told here every night, I understood right away, God's talking to me. What those men are saying is right. You've heard it from Brother Norman. Life is short. If life terminates without Christ, it won't be heaven. And if it's not heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Where I am, you cannot come." It will be heaven without Christ. And the chart in the Bible says it will be hell at last. You could have come in here tonight without a thought in your head or your heart about this great important matter. But the Holy Spirit of God can take this Bible here and bring it right home to your heart. I remember my mother many, many times whenever I was a wayward young man. She used to quote to me that verse I read you, Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 9. "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thine heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine own heart." And then she would stop. And she would look me straight in the eye. And she would say, "But know thou, for all these things, God will bring you into judgment." I want you to think about that. I remember one day listening to a conversation between my father and my mother. My mother was a godly woman. My dad was an outstanding preacher. And his name was John. My mother's name was Isabel. My dad would say to her, "Isabel, do you really think that we have brought two boys into the world that are going to miss salvation and be down in hell at last?" They didn't know that I was listening. You see, the gospel does something for people that only the Spirit of God can use. All right. Birthday. I'll bring you to the very point. It was the 2nd of June, 1963. 1957. That'll be 56 years next Lord's Day in the will of God. When I sat there as a young fellow, interested in salvation, nobody else ever knew. Not a person. Never told a living mortal. Nobody knew, but God knew. I can see the preacher yet. Brother Harold Paisley, he stopped as he read that verse that I read to you in Acts chapter 27 and verse 20. And here's the bottom line. When all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. And I said to myself, you know what? That's me. Here's the last night of the gospel meetings. Many have been saved. And if I miss it tonight, no more opportunity. I wandered on in the darkness. Not a ray of light could I see. And I wondered if Christ the Redeemer could save a poor sinner like me. And nobody knew what was going on in my heart. God knew. I can see the preacher yet. He stopped. We're 500 in the hall that night. And he looked at his audience and he said, is there a young person here tonight would want salvation? And I said to myself, yeah, that's me. But he said, if you want salvation, listen to what I'm going to ask you. A man asked one night in a jail in Philippi long ago, what must I do to be saved? Now, if that's the mode of your thinking, he said, here's the answer. Believe. Trust. Receive. Accept. Come. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy household. Believe what? Believe that when he died on the cross for poor, guilty sinners, and for the ungodly ones, and I'm one of that category, when as the chart showed on the broad road, I was headed for hell at last. For you, he died. It's very hard to explain how this happens. But in an instant of time, I understood that when the Savior died on that cross, he took my place. He died as my substitute. God judged Christ and forsook him that I might not be forsaken forever. And in an instant of time, I rested on that. And I knew right there, hallelujah, it is done. I believe on the Son. I'm saved through the blood of the crucified one. My friend, that could happen to you tonight. Somebody says, really? Absolutely. Almost 56 years have come and gone. Fairly good test that is genuine. Now what happens next? Let me just spend a minute. This is the fifth B. And I want to get to you on this point. Benefits after a spiritual birthday. What's that? Well, to follow the pathway that the Lord Jesus Christ has laid down in his life. I'll summarize this. 1957, in the fall of the year, I was baptized by believer's baptism. Not sprinkled. By believer's baptism down under the water. Indicating to all that night what happened at Conversion's Day. Died with Christ, I was buried with Christ, and I rose again with Christ to walk in newness of life. Short time after that, I was part of a New Testament assembly in the city of Belfast. There were over 100 in the fellowship. I can remember that day as clear as yesterday. The years of life have come and gone. We have lived in different countries. The principles don't change. And we're still remembering the Lord Jesus Christ in his own appointed way on the first day of the week. Here's another benefit. To tell others how they can be saved by the grace of God. I've been preaching the gospel now since I was 20 years of age. That's 55 years. Have come and gone. And somebody says to me, whatever made you do that? Well, out of love to the one that has done so much for me. What a benefit to tell others how they can be won for heaven. That's why we're here in this series. And that's why we're here tonight. We have preached in many countries in the world. To red and yellow, black and white, and all of the races of earth. Represented, wherever we were, the same message. What a benefit. It's a pleasure tonight to be in Kamloops, British Columbia, Canada, to tell men and women and boys and girls how they can be in heaven when life on earth is past. People ask all the time, Stan, you must live a very boring life. Well, I say to these people, come and stay with me for a while, and you'll find out if we've lived a boring life or not. I tell you, the greatest business you can do on this side of time is to tell others how they can be won for heaven and bring glory and honor to our Lord Jesus Christ. We're delighted to see you tonight. I want to ask you, friend, as you look at the chart, before you breathe your last on this life, young or old, will we meet you in heaven when life on earth is past? Don't forget the five B's. Background, blessings, blunders, birthday, and benefits. God help your friend tonight. If we never meet on earth again, at least you've been told tonight in a very simple way how you can be in heaven when life on earth is past. Only trust him, only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you. He will save you now. Thank you very much for your attention tonight. Let us pray.